What a great, great song. Thank you again, Mike and Paula, for assisting us and reminding us in Matthew chapter 7. I want to direct your attention to that for just a moment. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8 are two simple little statements that sort of speak to the nature of what that song is speaking about wellness in your heart, wellness in your soul. And it comes as a result of God's intervention. And so we're looking through and getting very close to the landing strip of a study that we've been involved with in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you're not reading anywhere particularly in your devotional time, let me encourage you. Find your Bible and then open it to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Just read through those chapters. It's one of the most practical, one of the most pointed messages, I believe, that's ever been preached. And, of course, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. He's the encourager of our hearts and of our lives as to these particular truths. Let me just put one little footnote on what Lauren was describing as the little peace symbol. I know a lot of us did grow up in those days, and a lot of probably we could tell a lot of stories about our lives during those times, but I found out that there really is a peace symbol that does make sense. You know, she pinned the little girl with the little round thing, and it's the little staff. You all know what the peace symbol looks like, I'm sure. And there's probably some stories behind just the very symbol itself. But there is a peace symbol. There really is a peace symbol that really will make a difference. It really will bring peace into a heart. It will bring peace into a church. It will bring peace into a community. It will bring peace into a state and a nation and a world. And there it is right there. It's on the back wall. And it's a cross. That's the real peace symbol. That's what men are striving for. They're hungry for it. And in our text today, they can have it. You can have it. Seriously, you can have it. Your family can experience it. Your business, your school, your loved ones can experience it. And so with that as sort of a little bit of an introduction, I want to invite you to stand with me just for one moment as you and I look together at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, and in whatever you're looking at as a Bible or a tablet or some type of a device that you study from and read from, let's look together and quietly you look and let me read these words aloud. As Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Well, again, Lord Jesus, we just want to come to say thank you for this word. It penetrates our heart. Sometimes it's beyond our comprehension. But may it be that the Holy Spirit of God would have such free reign and freedom to move in and throughout every heart here today and teach us such a powerful, powerful truth that lies before us in these words. Thank you for what you will teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, would you please? I'm going to disrobe. And for those that are listening, I'm just taking off my jacket. What exactly happens? What exactly happens when a Christian prays? We talked about last week what happens when a Christian judges. Jesus is going to give us another trilogy of thought, and this one is so simple, yet so profound. What happens when a Christian prays? You know, there's probably no subject in all of the Bible that thrills my soul than the subject of prayer. I love hearing about people coming to Christ and their lives being just radically changed. I love that. And I love when I see the church unified and coming together and being built up in the things of God. I love praise. I love worship. But something just really resonates in my heart when I think about prayer. And it's really basic and simple as you look at these two very simple statements. He continues on with an illustration, but we're going to sort of zero our attention in these two verses of Scripture. What happens when a Christian prays? Now let me just lay a little bit of a foundation just for our purposes and give you three thoughts just to kind of begin. Now, I don't know if you have any little notebook that you bring or you want to use the worship bulletin or something, but some of these things are going to be very important. And I'm going to sort of just read through them, and you get the amount of stuff that you want from this. But let me just start it by saying, number one, that as it is the nature of this entire Sermon on the Mount, this spiritual activity or this spiritual exercise, praying, this asking, this seeking, this knocking, it's personal. That's the first thing that you need to know. This is a personal matter. This is a personal issue. This is a personal discipline. Because if you'll notice, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Notice that? I'm going to give you a little lesson on the language here in just a moment. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Notice that? Notice how personal that is? But if you were to look at the real nature of the actual text in the original language, do you know what Jesus is saying? You ask and it will be given to you. You seek and you will find. You knock and it will be open to you. He's making this extremely personal. And so I think that it's very important that you understand that prayer is not just for somebody else. It's for me. It's for you. And that's the exciting part of this whole exercise, is that I get to be involved in this. Can you imagine? I think sometimes we fail to remember who we're talking to when we pray, if we talk in our prayer. Sometimes it's meditational type of prayer. We're just sitting there being still and knowing that God is God. So the first thing that you and I need to know is that the whole nature of this Sermon on the Mount is that way, but specifically in this exercise, asking, seeking, and knocking, you are involved. There's a second thing. Just by way of introduction, that each element of this spiritual exercise, this spiritual activity, each element of this asking, seeking, knocking, is to be associated with a specific desired need or a request. Now, I want to show you a very important little word. I don't know about you, but I'm just into little words. I just like little words. I think sometimes we get overcome by the big words. Well, I get overcome by the little words. Watch this. Ask and it. Notice that? That's IT. That's how you spell that word. Ask and it shall be given to you. It. That's specific. Seek it and you will find it. Knock and it. I'm looking at you guys and you're looking at me like he has lost his mind over a two-letter word. Well, I may have, because I see the specific need or the request. Now, what is it that you need? What is it that is needed in somebody else's life? What is it that we need in our world? Now, take the Christmas story just for a moment and just really break it down and just remember what the angels said or sang, whichever the case may be, but what was stated by the angels to the shepherds. Well, they said that prayers have been answered, basically. God has from heaven, he has visited, he has answered. And what did he answer? He answered very specifically, did he not? He answered with a son. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So a son was given. But can I take that it just one more step? And this is free, by the way. This is not a part of the study, but this is just a little something extra for your Christmas enjoyment. You know what it was at Christmas? You ready for this? Peace. We just sing about it. We talk about it all. What did the angel say? Peace on earth. So you want to know what it is? It is peace. And you know what men need today? What women need today? What families need today? What governments need today? What people need today? They need peace. And that's what it is. So you want to pray about something? You want to ask God for something? You want to ask Him for it. Because it gets very specific. And that's what He says here. Ask and it shall be. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and it will be. So, just by way of introduction, every element in this activity has a specific desired need to be met or a request that's being put forth. Can I show you something right quick before we go to that third little part? Put your finger there in Matthew and turn over well into your New Testament portion of your Bible to a book called Hebrews, chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And just remind yourself that God is at the bottom of meeting every need. He is at the bottom of meeting your need or your request. Now, I'm going to show you that, and I could show you in a ton of other verses. But for some reason, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 just sort of resonates that truth. Watch this. Have you found it? Look at it. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What do you need? What is it in your life? The Bible says God's at the bottom of it. And I realize that some of us do some real high-level begging. I know. I've done that as well. I continue probably to do that. You sort of come before, you know, a people. I remember hearing the story of a good friend of ours that needed a car, and he was home for Christmas, and there he's at the table with mom and dad and sister and brother, and he's sitting there just faring sumptuously like they are all on the Christmas meal, and finally everybody kind of comes up for air just for a moment, and this friend of mine says, you know, mom, dad, I've been praying that God would lay it on the heart of somebody to buy me a car. I don't want to penalize the authenticity and the purity of that statement, and maybe the purity of his heart, but somewhere along the way, the high-level begging sort of just kind of got involved in that, you know, like, you know, and mom and dad, you could be the people that God would lay in the, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes, just give it. Come to the throne of grace, and whatever it is in your life, allow Him to bring that to pass. One more thing, and before you go back to Matthew, stop in Philippians chapter 4, all right? So on your way from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, stop at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Great, great little statement here. And I want you to thirdly notice that this spiritual exercise, this activity of asking, seeking, and knocking has no limits. It has no limit of times that you can ask. It has no prohibition of items that you can ask for. Now, watch this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Once again, one of many verses of Scripture, one of many statements in the Bible that actually speaks to the necessity of your life, God knowing that and God wanting to meet that. Lots of verses. This is just one of them. But listen to this again. And notice, if you will, and maybe you'll want to like to make a little note, because I did in my Bible, and here's what I noted. And my God will supply, and I circled the next word. What's that word? All. Say that with me. All. Say it one more time. All. There's no limitation of the need in that regard. You see, sometimes we think that that's supposed to be just things that, you know, are spiritual. Not necessarily. I mean, it doesn't say that. And my God will supply all your needs. But notice what He says. He says He's not going to necessarily supply all of our wants, all of our desires. But there's verses of Scripture about that too. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But wait a minute. Make sure you keep everything in perspective. You know, James says, you have not because you ask not. And some people ask with the wrong motivation. Instead of asking for transportation, they want a convertible. A red, fast convertible. You see, there's something in the motivation, the attitude, in the asking. It's not a car to get me from home to the office so that I can put food on the table and pay my bills and all that kind of stuff. No, I want the fast and shiny and this, and so the motivation has changed. So James says, you're not going to get that because you're asking with the wrong motivation, wrong attitude. You see, this beautiful activity and opportunity and exercise of asking, seeking, knocking. There is no limit of times to ask. You can't wear God out. And by the way, can I let y'all in a little secret? God hears every time. And He's not listening to your voice. He's listening to your heart. But He listens every time. Well, why hasn't He answered yet? Oh, He's answering in His time, not yours. And that's where we get into the trouble. But the bills are due and they run. Yeah, yeah. And God says, I'm not going to mess with you anymore. You think that's the kind of God you have? No, no. And so therefore, you and I need to be very, very sensitive and responsible with the way that we ask, the way that we seek, and the way that we knock. And that's exactly what we're going to look at just with two thoughts. I want to wrap your mind around two thoughts. So turn back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Look, if you will, at verse 7. There is first the believer's responsibility. I have a responsibility. Seriously. And I'll show you that. It's very, very simple. And you've probably already picked up on how simple that is. But I want you to notice that that there are three responsibilities that you and I have. Okay? The first one is ask. And literally what Jesus is saying is keep on asking. Keep on asking. That's why some of us, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's the extent of our prayer life. When in reality, what Jesus is saying, you have a need, you have an issue, you have a person, you have a problem. He knows that. He already knows that ahead of time. And so He wants you and Him to come together with His answer. And so what did He tell you to do? Ask. And keep on asking. So why do you do that? Well, I'm trying to change the mind of God. I'm trying to change God's heart in this matter, that He finally realizes that I have this great need. I want to get married. I want a new job. I want to go to a certain school. I need transportation. I need rent for the house. I need to pay my bills. You know, and I'm going to try to change His mind. No, no, that's not what prayer is all about, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, I believe, just bottom line, I believe that real, genuine praying changes me into God's plan. Changes my heart to His heart. And you know what I find out? I find out the more that I continue to ask, the more I find out it's not really about me after all. Well, I thought it was. But it's not about me after all. So, ask. He is literally saying, ask, keep on asking. Now, there's a proper spirit in that asking. I believe that's humility. And there's an improper spirit, and that's insubordination. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Maybe this will help some of you. Asking is not demanding. You know, I don't have a whole lot of... Well, let me just say it this way. There are people that you might listen to and might see on television that would promote in your spiritual journey that you can go up and you can absolutely storm the gates of heaven. You can sling open the gate of heaven and you can stamp up to the throne of God and you can throw your fist up almost as it would be to God, and you can demand of God, because your Bible says this, I am now calling in the credit of it. So you've got to do it or else. I mean, really, it's almost like, has anybody out here ever seen that kind of approach to your prayer life? No, I think the proper spirit is humility before God. And it's almost as if you have your hands open asking. There's nothing in your hands. And yet, as you continue to ask in humility, God will then fill it in His perfect timing. I want to give you three statements with these three points. And so here's the first one. In the ask. Asking expects an answer. Did you know that? Asking expects an answer. As we are responsible to God, to ask God, God is responsible to answer. And write down this little scripture reference, and we'll go to the second. Write down this little scripture reference. I'm going to give you that little point one more time. Asking expects an answer. It expects an answer. I can prove that right now. Okay? But I want to ask you to write down this little reference, scripture reference. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. God says to you, to your heart, to mine, call to me. Call to me. And you know what the Bible then says? And I will answer you. I will show you things, great and mighty things, which you have never thought of. Did y'all hear that? Okay. Take a little time to have a little poll. We're going to ask you to raise your hands, so be prepared, okay? This is not difficult, or shouldn't be. I hope it's not. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm not going to call any names. I'm not going to ask you to stand and give a testimony, but I'm just going to ask you to respond to this question. How many of you believe God is a liar? Or let me rephrase it. How many of you have experienced God has lied to you at some time in your life? Wow. Well, just for the record, for those of you that are listening by way of the internet broadcast, then no hands have gone up. So that means that all of us then would hold to the point that God is truthful, that God's a man of His word, if you want to put it like that, that He's going to come through in His timing with His plan and His promise to your life and to mine. Good. Do you get it? Asking always expects an answer. Now, here's the downside of that. You ready? Girls, you ready for this? You ready for this? Y'all ready for this? It may not be your answer. Why did you have to say that, David? It may not be your answer. It may not be your answer at all. Asking always expects an answer. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 33. Great, 33, verse 3. Seek. Now, let's look at that. The Bible says in verse 7 again, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Same exact statement. Same exact form. He's not only saying ask, He's saying asking or keep on asking. Seek, He's saying keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. Now, what exactly does that term mean? Well, seeking is asking plus acting. You got that? You hear that? Seeking is asking plus acting. It's not passive. Well, I've been asking. Been asking 40 years for a husband, but I haven't gotten one yet. God just hasn't asked me. Have you been seeking? Been going out and getting one? Been going to the pond and fishing? That's for some that might need that information. Now, let me give you the statement that I want you to tie in on when it comes to seeking. Remember in asking, the statement was, ask expects an answer. Asking always expects an answer. Seeking implies, here's the statement, seeking implies an earnest desire to find. Anybody ever lose your keys? Anybody ever lose something important like maybe a piece of jewelry or a child or, you know, something, you know? Let me give you an illustration out of the page of our marriage and our parenthood. Marilyn went, what's he about to say? We were at a mall, and we were shopping one time, and our youngest was in the stroller, and our oldest was, you know, three. And he was had that little three-year-old in him, you know, and he wanted to be adventurous. And so we're shopping over here, doing this, that, and the other, and he's gone. We can't find him. I'm serious. He's gone. And we can't find him. And I said to Marilyn, he'll come back. I didn't like him anyway. You know, he'll come back. Did I say that? No. Because I wouldn't be standing in front of you if I had said that today. I went in, as probably you would have done the same, I went into panic mode. I was shutting the store down. I'm shutting the store down. I'm yelling at the top of my voice his name, trying to find this child. You know what I was doing? I was seeking with an earnest desire to find. We found him, you know. We did find. You know where he was? He was probably no farther from me to the wall, a good 15, 20 feet away, underneath one of these round racks that have clothes that drop all the way. He was in his fort, or he was hiding in his tent or something. He was playing his little imaginary game, and he was killing us because we couldn't find him. But we found him, and he grew up. Now he's got an almost three-year-old. Ha, ha, ha. A person must be active in endeavoring to obtain the fulfillment of their need. Must be active. Let me give you an example of that. We pray for a deep understanding of the Bible, and we diligently search the Scriptures. You see what you're doing? You say, oh, I want to know more about the Bible. Then get into the Bible. Search it. Well, I don't understand it. Then get one that you can understand. We pray for a wonderful experience with God and personally participate in a worship experience. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Is that participating in the worship of God? No, no. But we say that that's what we want. Oh, I want to experience God. Then experience God. My father used to say, David, talking's good, but doing gets the job done. And then pray for harmony among God's family, and we strive. We strive to live in harmony together. We put our effort. Well, I'm not going to do it. If they're not going to come to church, I'm not going to invite them. Or if she wouldn't come over here and talk to me, I'm not going to go over there and talk to her. How foolish. How foolish. We're not seeking anything. And so therefore, seeking. Then third, knocking. Knock, and it shall, and the door, and it will be opened to you. Knocking is asking plus acting plus persevering. Get that? Write that down one more time. Just think about that. Knocking, as Jesus ends out this trilogy of responsibilities that you and I have as believers, he says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and now knock and keep on knocking. It's all the same, all the same. It's a present, active activity of yours and my life when it comes to praying. And so what is knocking? Knocking is asking, plus it is acting, plus it is persevering. Example. Did y'all hear that? I just knocked on that door. I didn't get an answer. I did not get an answer. I didn't hear any response. So what do? I go back. I just keep going. Now, I would give anything if somebody were on the other side of that door. I would pay dearly. If I had cued them, you know, after the fifth time, open that door. Here's the point. Here's the statement I want to give you on knocking. Ready? Like asking and seeking, here's knocking. Knocking gives us the privilege. It gives us the privilege to persist until the door is opened. Now, the door in some way is going to open because Jesus promised that. Because look at verse 8 very quickly. Well, look at verse 7. Knock and it will, notice that, it will be opened to you. Now remember, hey, don't forget, on the other side of that door is that shiny, new, fast. Not necessarily. Because ultimately, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we're ultimately tying in, tapping in, connecting with God's plan. So when we ask, we're asking for His will. When we seek, we're seeking for His heart. When we knock, we're knocking for the opportunity that He knows is best for us. And so we open the door, and it's not a shiny, fast convertible. No, it's an old gray mare, but she ain't what she used to be. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to do, it's God's plan for that time in your life and for mine. Or whatever that need and whatever that particular situation may be. It's a persevering. Let me just invite you to write down this reference. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses beginning at verse 5. Before verse 5, in the first four verses, He is giving us the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Beginning at verse 9, He talks about a son coming to his father and asking for, you know, a specific need. But in verse 5, He says, suppose you have a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before them. And from the inside, He answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though He will not get up and give him anything, because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. You know, sometimes I think the reason God doesn't answer is because we're not serious about Him answering. The reason God's not going to answer at the very need that we think that is so pressing is because we're not pressing God for the need. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Daddy. I mean, I'm hungry. Well, we've got 300 more miles to go. We'll get you something. Another 2 miles down the road. Daddy, I'm really hungry. My stomach is growling. I really am hungry. And I told you, we've only got 298 miles to go. Would that be the proper response to a child? Well, what do you think with God? As children, He wants to meet that need. But we, in our knocking, we give God the opportunity to hear our passionate persistence in the need as best we know it and best can express it. Well, as it would be, we have a personal responsibility, but in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to finish with this, there is a divine response. We have a personal, a believer's responsibility. God has a divine response. Because He says in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 7, He says, and everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Well, that's positive. That's a pretty positive statement stuff. Now, you might be sitting there and you're thinking, well, it didn't come to pass, and I prayed for mama's health to be returned, and she died of cancer and all this kind of stuff, and I watched her suffer, and I'm sort of checked out with God on that because He didn't answer. Oh, yes, He did. As a matter of fact, can I say this? If that's experience that happened to you, and it has happened to me, both my parents are in heaven, they're the luckiest people on earth. Why in the world would I want my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my child, why in the world would I want them to go through what they're going through when God has a much greater plan for their life? And all I'm going to do is I am going to pray. Yes, I'm going to ask, and I'm going to seek, and I'm going to knock in every possible area of my responsibility. Then I'm going to step back and I'm going to say, God, it's all yours. It's all yours. That's the divine response. And I want you to notice the divine response is given personally. Notice that? He says, for everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, it's personal again. It's all very personal. Directed to you. And this divine response is given exclusively. Notice that? Notice what he says? You're part of that. Everyone, can I say it this way? That you are a part of an exclusive group. Now don't get prideful and arrogant and I'm really something. No, that's not what the Word of God is talking about. But the exclusiveness of this is that this is a family matter. This is a family matter. The world doesn't understand this. They're spiritually ignorant of this. Oh, you hear them say that. Our prayers and thoughts are with you and those kinds of things. They don't really understand the value, the magnitude, the promise of prayer. They don't understand that. But you and I should. Or at least we should learn. And so this divine response is personal, it's exclusive. And by the way, you and I should be able to expect it. You and I should expect it because the Bible says, for the one who is asking receives. Notice that? He receives it. Now, all in God's timing, all in God's plan, all in God's provision, but He receives it. So you can expect it. You can expect an answer. Because asking expects an answer. It does. Now don't give me that. Don't give me that. I heard what you said. Yeah, David, I've been praying for 20 years for this. I've been praying for 30 years for a husband or a wife to come to Christ. I've prayed for 25 years for my wayward son to come back to the Lord. Yeah? Yeah? And God's answering all along the way. He's changing, I trust, your heart. Changing my heart in those areas of our life. I've got those issues in my family as well. Whatever they may be. I need $1 million, folks. Oh, no, no. I'm serious. I need $1 million to build the Danny Waters Retreat and Renewal Center over in Cleveland, Georgia, for pastors that are hurting and their families that are going through difficult times in their life to have a place where it's a place of peace, like the Shunammite woman and her husband built that small chamber and sit a bed and a table and a lamp and a chair there, so as the prophet of God comes by, he can come in there and he can rest. I need $1 million for that. And so what do? I mean, that's a need, I think. I think that will really meet a need. And me and God, I've really been convincing God how, you really need this. So give me this million. Be careful, David. Ask with humility. But ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. So what's your need? I'm expecting. Now, I don't know if that $1 million is going to come in one big sum. It could. It could come in little bitty widomite. But however it comes, and in God's perfect plan and timing, guess who's going to get the glory? He does. Simply because we're asking and we keep on asking, seeking and keeping on seeking, knocking and keep on knocking. Now don't take this study, please. Don't take this study and just say, well, that was a good time at church today. And then go right back to the old way of thinking, the old way of doing, the old way of that was good, and I don't know if I can buy it. Don't know if I can really believe it because I just don't think that's the way you do life. That's just not the way you do business. No, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. That is not the way you do business. But guess what? That's the way God does business. And when we can step out, seriously, folks, think about this. We can step out of the arena that's all about us and step over into a faith arena that's all about Him, His will, His plan, His purposes, His promises. When we can do that, hey, guess what? You're learning as a disciple how to ask, how to seek, and how to knock. And it all starts with asking. So what do you need? I mean, what you don't have to say anything, but what do you need? And who's meeting that need in your life? You or God? Oh, there's so much more. And I'm not about to tell you that this is just a singular study of prayer that you need in your life, because there's so much more, so much more. But I trust that we'll take this very serious. We're getting ready to go into 2017 if Jesus tarries is coming. Brand new year. Well, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something that every single morning, every single day, perhaps even throughout the day, that you and I would spend time asking, seeking, and knocking. Maybe not so much for that individual or that issue or that problem or that need, but for right here. Asking God to make me the man that He wants me to be. Seeking ways that I can find Him, and then knocking on those opportunities when they come into my life. Is this the door you want me to go through? It'll change your life. It'll change their life, as God will give us grace to do that. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as we just kind of close out this Sunday of celebrating the Lord and preparing ourselves for this wonderful meal that's to come, let me just ask you just to be still and listen to God right now. I never want to coerce. I never want to try to persuade with an over-persuasiveness a decision from somebody. Sitting, listening, allowing the Holy Spirit to change your life and your heart. But in the quietness of this moment, has God done that today? Has God the Holy Spirit spoken to your life about a decision that you need to make? About a change in your life that only He can bring to pass? Or maybe there's something in your life or in the life of someone that you know and love that needs the attention of God. Well, my friends, you've heard exactly what you've needed to hear, and that is asking. Asking. He ever waits for His child to speak to Him. And when we do that, we are stepping aside of our own prominence and pride, and we are humbling ourselves before a God who has the answer, because He is the answer. Ask Him. Whatever that need is, seek Him. That's asking along with action. Do what you need to passionately and faithfully do in order to find Him. Search the Scripture. Let Him speak to your heart. Unplug the interruptions and the noise in your life long enough that you can hear Him speak as you seek Him. And then knock. Don't let that opportunity pass by without knocking. Seeing, trusting, praying for His will, His way, that this is the door. This is the opportunity that He wants me to be a part of. No, don't kick down the door. No, He didn't say that. He said knock. And the door will be opened. He'll do that. Allow Him to take control of your asking, seeking, and knocking. Father in heaven, I thank You that in these moments that we get to spend together, that You really are moving in our hearts and our lives. You're teaching us some very important principles that we need to be a part of. We need to hear You speak and give us direction. And yet here is another example. We spoke last week and studied last week about judging other people. Today we've looked at how we pray. And in that praying, so simple is its formula, oh, so profound is its result. But help us, Father. My prayer is that you would help each and every one of us, wherever we are on our spiritual path. Perhaps some of them have just started. Some may not have even begun. And some may be way down the road a ways. But wherever we are, this principle connects us with heaven. It connects us with your heart. And so maybe the first prayer that needs to be prayed by someone today is asking you to come into their life, to take away their sin through the cross of Calvary, that they might trust you, Father, right now, in simplicity, by just calling. The Bible says, just call upon me and I'll answer. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's an ask and there is an expectant answer. So maybe that person is sitting with us today and they're not a part of your family at this point. And quietly, where they sit right now, they're asking you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Walk with me day by day, and allow me to walk with you in this new and wonderful relationship that you have given me. Maybe, Father, there's husbands and wives here, or maybe there's family members here that are really seeking an answer. Father, I pray that you'll bring that into their hearts and lives. And then, Father, there's that one man, that one woman, perhaps, that stood at a door, as it would be, seemingly bolted down, impregnable, cannot get through, seemingly, because we've tried it our way. We've tried to manipulate, we've tried to coerce, and yet, Father, oh, my stars, all of us need to just simply learn how to knock. Just knock and allow you and your perfect plan and timing to open the door to your perfect plan and will for our lives. I thank you, Father, for these moments that we get to spend together. They go by so quickly, but yet, Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit has taught us today some life-altering and life-changing truths. So bless this, Father, in our hearts and our lives. May we be different and challenged and changed people when we leave this place and go out into the areas that will touch the lives of so many people, and they'll see Jesus in us. Now, Father, again, we just thank you for this day, for all that you have done, all that you are going to continue to do. And we ask, and we're going to keep on asking. We seek, and we keep on seeking. Father, we're going to knock, and we're going to keep on knocking, because we know that you have promised when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, you'll open the door. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.